Our scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's actually beginning with verse 19. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Nettie, we welcome you this morning.
Well, good morning. I hope that you would excuse me as I look over my glasses, my rear glasses. I attended a function in Vicksburg, Mississippi at the City Auditorium, and I sat at table 13. My rear glasses are somewhere located around under that table, and so I have to use these readers to be able to see what I'm doing, and I'm excited to be with you this morning and be a part of this worship service celebration. My relationship with the church goes back beyond what I can even recall. I think my first experience here is I attended a function that Martha Blunt was being ordinated, or whatever you all call that. In that Craig Van Gelder and I was here as part of that celebration service, and I preached here a couple of times. And I'm excited to be back again this morning and be a part of your worship time together. As I think about what I was going to say, but what God has given me to say, let me try that God has given me something to say to you this morning, is that is living reconciled. Living reconciled. We've talked a lot over the last 25 years about racial reconciliation. Well, let's try over the next 25 years talking about living reconciled, or living a lifestyle of reconciliation. When I was here before, I think my last sermon here was about reconciliation and come out of some of the same passages you had read this morning, in that reconciliation is real, reconciliation is radical, and reconciliation is revolutionary. Reconciliation is real in the sense that when Paul described in chapter 5 here, when he was talking in chapter 5 to the Corinthians church, he was talking about those that had been under the oppression of the Roman Empire, and those that was being the oppressor, I should say, and the oppressee were in the room together. Can you see that picture? And he was talking to them, and he was saying to them, he had an encounter on the Damascus Road with Jesus Christ. And when he was writing this, if you go back to the 14th verse and read that entire passage through the 21st verse, you'll find that Paul was illuminating to or remembering what had happened to him. And because he remembered what the encounter, the experience that he had on the Damascus Road, it changed him completely. It revolutionized his way of thinking. It changed his perspective. He went from persecuting the church to proclaiming the church. And so here he uses words like henceforth and thereforth and wherefore, if you read it in the King James Version of it. And so I'm going to give you the literal translation of the word reconcile and reconciliation. But now I just want you to get a glimpse of reconciliation is something that happens to you that changes you from the inside out, that you no longer see things the same. You no longer act the same way. In fact, Paul says in this passage in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, I once thought of Jesus as a mere human being, but no more. I can no longer judge him or her or them from what has happened to me in the past or according to the flesh, but I judge them that way no longer because I am a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. So That's a radical statement. That's a radical transformation. And then he says it's revolutionary in the fact that he was saying to those that had been under the gun with the Roman Empire and those that was in the Roman Empire, you come into the same room at the same time and worship the same Lord. You're on equal footing based on what Jesus Christ has done, not what a law or an act or Congress or anything else. He says, you're on equal footing now because of what Christ has done for you individually and for us collectively. So we're no longer enemies. We're no longer adversaries because while we were yet enemies with Christ, he died for us. And so here's something I want to share with you about living reconciled so we can get a picture of, put that word racial reconciliation aside for a moment. Can I do that just for a moment? In fact, I would love to put the word racial reconciliation completely out of our vocabulary and talk about reconciliation and what that means and that we can walk that out in a way that is inclusive of all reconciliation as we see it today and as we act on it today. And so I like to think about this like this. First things first, you got to think reconciliation before you can do reconciliation. And what do that mean? That means that I got to think like God and from God's perspective. I got to get God's thoughts on reconciliation. I got to understand why there's only one thing on God's agenda, and that is reconciliation. He killed his son on the cross and raised him from the grave simply to bring about reconciliation between man and God. And this passage of scripture that was read in your hearing says, he has given us the ministry and the message of reconciliation, not from man to man, but from man to God. Our job now that we are ambassadors of Christ is to get others reconciled unto God. In fact, he says in this passage in verse 20, he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. And then and I want to go back and just go to Romans 5, verses 10 and 11. In Romans 5, verse 10 and 11, I want to point out a couple of words in there that talks about reconciliation. I want to get us to the point that we can put ED on this reconciliation thing. It's past. It's been done. Our job now is to live it out. And so many of us are now trying to come up with ways we can be reconciled. Well, we've already been reconciled as children of Christ or through our relationship with Christ. God has made us his friend. We have peace with him. We have peace with one another. The dividing wall has been taken down, and so we are now one with him and one with one another. In verse 10, chapter 5 of Romans, here's what it says. It says, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled. This word reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. I want you to get this picture of this reconciliation, that the biblical perspective of it is something that has passed and that something has been done, and we are part of what has been done in the past. Therefore, now our present and our future says to us, we must live out this which we have been given from God, which we have received through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to extend to others that which we have been extended from the love of Christ and what he has done for us. And then here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 19 says this, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So our message and our position at Mission Mississippi has been over the last 25 years, let's live out which that we've already have. Let's learn from each other. Let's live with one another. Let's understand that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And therefore, I may not like my brother and sister. I may not want to be around my brothers and sisters. So I just pause here for a moment and think about family reunions. I've been to a lot of family reunions in my life, and I've been real happy to see some of my family members come, and even happier to see them go. You know, isn't it wonderful how we get together at a reunion and everybody's embracing each other, and a few minutes together, we remember why we don't like this person and why we've probably been separated for a while in the past, and that you know, we can only tolerate. Are y'all listening to me? We can only tolerate. Well, in the body of Christ, we don't have that option to dislike. We don't have the option of tolerating one another. The only option we have is to love one another as he has loved us. We got to extend the same grace, the same forgiveness, the same love to others that we have received. Whew. That's pretty deep. Yeah, when you look in the faces of people that have abused you, misused you, accused you, and done all kind of manner of evil towards you, it's deep for somebody to say to you, you got to love this person in spite of. I don't know, there was a commercial sometime. I believe it's one of them car dealers that said, regardless, we gotta make this deal, we gotta make this deal work regardless. And so here in this passage in 2 Corinthians, he says, he used the word reconcile twice. And as you saw in Romans, he used it twice. And I'm gonna slip over to Ephesians 2, and I'm gonna read another passage. And I think the foundation for what I'm attempting to say this morning will be set. In Ephesians 2, verses 14 and verses 15, verse 14 and 15 says this, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." Verse 15, "having abolished in his flesh the intimate, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." These verses say to me, there used to be two people in the room, and they was separated from each other, and they was at odds with one another. But because of what Christ had done, those two have become one. And he's torn down the wall of separation and division between the two, not to make a level playing field of making things equal. He says he had created in himself one new man. Not a place or position to get along with each other, tolerate one another, but one new man. That can't be legislated. That can't be adjudicated. It only can be lived by those that have been touched and changed by the love of Christ. And that's why Mission Mississippi over the last 25 years has been urging, compelling, preaching Christians throughout this state and even beyond to live a lifestyle of reconciliation, irrespective of color, culture, customs, or class. We're so divided over those four things. Pick one of them, and you can immediately know someone that you don't like or disagree with or divided over some aspect of our culture, politics, I'm not going to go political, but just to throw that into the cultural mix. And society today, especially the Christian community, reminds me of my growing up days in Tunica County. As in elementary school, I believe it was eighth, maybe it was high school, ninth grade. My English teacher, Mrs. Nellie Johnson, taught us English immediately following noon recess. One of the things I remember is that at the 1:15 bell, I would immediately go in her class, sit at my desk, and immediately put my elbow into position. Now, if you don't know what that means, is that after lunch, after exercise, or whatever you did during lunch, the position for your elbow when you get to class was like this. And I would immediately put my elbow in the right position, and she would immediately come along and, like, do that. And your head would flop. And then I would fall asleep in spite of the fact that my elbow was not in the right position. And my head would do back and forth like a bobblehead today. And she would yell from the back of the room. She always sit in the back of the room for some reason, but she'd yell from the back of the room, wake Ned Ray up before he breaks his neck. And so, but what really, the point I really want to make is that during my education, I had to diagram. I had to learn how to diagram a sentence. So the teacher would write the sentence on the board, and then she would invite you to go to the board and diagram the sentence with lines and so forth. And so I had to draw a line across the board, and then from that line I had to identify the adverb, the adjective, the noun, the pronoun, the conjunction, so forth and so on. And so I would go to my seat after diagramming the sentence, and she would just yell again, Ned Ray, the adjective modifies the noun. And so I'd immediately run back to the board, and whatever the adjective, whatever place I had the adjective, I'd just swap it out with the noun. And then I'd return to my seat, and she would move to the next student. So I didn't really understand and appreciate that at that moment, but what she was telling me was is that if you put your humanity in the adjective position, you have your humanity in the wrong position. If you put your Christianity in the noun position, your Christianity is in the wrong position, because your Christianity should modify your human behavior. Therefore, you need to take your Christianity and put it in the adjective position so it'll modify your behavior as a human being. Somebody's realizing that they may need to go back to the board and change their adjective position and put it in the noun position and put the Christianity in the adjective position. And so we allow our color, our culture, our customs, and our class to really identify us as Christians. Otherwise, I would never hear the phrases like, how can you be a Christian? And I'll allow you to finish that sentence. Because if my Christianity is modifying my behavior or my humanness, you would never have to say, how can you be a Christian and operate this way or do this way? And so, This thing of living reconciled means that I want to be like Paul. Paul was on his way to persecute the church, and he had an encounter on the Damascus Road that changed him completely. Let me read it to you as the literal translation of this word reconcile that we've used in Romans 5, the word reconciliation and reconciling in 2 Corinthians 5, and the word reconcile are made one in Ephesians. Here's how it would sound if I would read Romans 10 in the literal translation. It would read like this. It would say, for if while we were enemies, our relationship to God was changed completely. That's the first reconcile. Though through the death of his son, much more surely having been radically transformed, second reconcile, will we be saved by his life? Then in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19 would sound something like this. 18 through 20 would sound something like this. All of this is from God, who thoroughly changed our relationship to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of radical relational transformation. That is, in Christ, God completely changed the world's relationship to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of this radical change to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be changed completely in your relationship with God. Now listen, if you didn't get this, because you are a Christian, you are a reconciler. And because you are a reconciler, you are an ambassador for Christ, and your job as a reconciler is to get others reconciled to God, because you've already been reconciled to those in the body of Christ, and because of your lifestyle inside of the body of Christ, how you love one another in the body of Christ, others are invited to come and be a part of what's going on in the body of Christ, because when they see you, they want some of what you have in the body of Christ. You don't believe that? Read Acts 2. In Acts 2, the Bible says, because they loved each other so much and they came together for the better and not for the worse, and that when they came together, they shared their possessions of goods, and that they loved each other so that the greater community wanted to be a part of what they was doing. In fact, they found favor with both man and God because of how they love one another. My challenge, or our challenge from a Mission Mississippi perspective, is that how can we love one another in such a way that others will want to be a part of the love that we have for one another, and that we won't have to go invite them. They will be coming inviting themselves to what we have, because what they see in us, they won't see anywhere else. Our challenge is that we haven't seen the model of how we should love one another. And therefore, the body of Christ is supposed to be the light and in the salt, the light in dark, decaying situation, the retarding in a decaying situation, so others will see how we ought to be. And because we are here, things won't be as bad as they could be, would be, should be, because the love of Christ glows and flows through us. And in the end, we can live reconciled. So my challenge to the body of Christ is that we act like reconcilers. See, I see churches as covenant and across the state and across the nation and even across the world, I see churches as embassies, where the ambassadors of Christ are located, and they go out from the embassies and make sure that those that are beyond the embassy will come in and be a part and find safety and sanctity in the sanctuary of the embassy that we are ambassadors that are being sent out from. And we do that because we're just on our way. We're just passing through this place. And you know how the ambassadors work and how embassies work, is that if you can just get on the campus, if you're in a foreign country or a foreign land, and if you can get on the campus of one of the embassies, it operates as though you were in your homeland. And this operator is bringing people out of the darkness and out of the decay and all of those things. They can find a place here where God is here, and that they can find the love of Jesus Christ, and that be illustrated and demonstrated through how we live with one another. So today, as we look forward to moving forward, as we look forward for the next 25 years of celebrating Mission Mississippi, we look forward to living a lifestyle of reconciliation, or simply put, live reconciled. And if we live reconciled and understand that we already had a reconciliation that we're seeking for, we already have the love, we already are one together. And so I say to you this morning, live reconciled as Christ was living in you and through you and for you. And Paul said, I shared a story with you as I end, is that Paul shared in Galatians 2. You know, Galatians 2:20 get quoted so many times and so often now, but it's no longer Christ that lives, it's no longer me that lives, but the life I now live, I live through Christ living in me and through me. And I may have butchered a little bit, but you get the idea that it's no longer me, but it's Christ that lives through me. And if Christ is living through me, there is no one Christ can't love. There's no one Christ didn't die for. So everybody you meet, stranger, foreigner, whatever it is, that the life I now live, Christ is living through me. Therefore, that person is loved by me because Christ loves through me, for me. And so Peter, after having his experience on the rooftop with Jesus, and because Peter was on the rooftop taking an afternoon nap before he had dinner or whatever, and while he was having his devotional, God gave him this vision, and he opened up this sheet, and every manner of animal fell down before him, and Jesus said to Peter, "Rise, Peter, slay and eat." And Peter said, "No, Lord." Well, if you're going to call him Lord, you can't say no. You can either say no, but you can't call him Lord, and you say Lord, you can't say no. And so that's the first first part where he messed up. He said, Lord, no. And I see that Jesus had to say that several times to Peter, probably three times before Peter actually got the picture that he's supposed to not call that which God have called clean, unclean. And he immediately sent him down to Cornelius' house, and he shared with Cornelius, and the Gentiles got saved. One of the things that happened when Peter went to Cornelius' house, he found out that the Gentiles could cook. And that he could now have eggs with his bacon with his eggs and all of those things. And so he and Gentile was hanging out. In Galatians 2, you can read this. I know it seemed facetious, but they were eating together. And the Bible says they were eating together. My picture of that was that they were at the rib rack, and they were having some ribs and pork chops, and they were getting back and eating. I'm talking, they were eating the soul food. And the brothers from the church showed up. And the Bible says Peter got up from the table and withdrew himself because of the pressure from his brethren, and he would have gotten away with it except Paul showed up for his rack of ribs. And Paul says, I confronted him to his face because he was not straightforward with the gospel. Well, wait a minute, Paul, I thought the gospel was just getting people saved. He said he was not straightforward with the gospel because the gospel extends beyond salvation. The gospel is live out the grace of the gospel in a demonstrated way that others can see the grace of the gospel through you and understand how this thing is done to be reconciled unto God through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said, you played the part of a hypocrite. And he confronted him to his faith. And he said, even Barnabas got carried away with this. Now, why would he say even Barnabas? Well, if you read the history, Barnabas was born in Sicily and raised in Sicily. He grew up with the Gentiles. He went to school with the Gentiles. He was a part of the Gentiles. That's right, this word racism, or these four cousins I gave, the color, culture, customs, and class, will cause us even to do wrong when we know we ought to be doing right. And then Paul completes that challenge to Peter and to the rest of the crowd by saying, the life you now live is not based on Peter's experience past. It's based on what Christ has done in you and through you and for you. And so the life you now live is the life you live by Christ living through you. And there is no one that Christ hates. There is no one that Christ cannot love. And so to end this passage of scripture, so somebody, some theologian won't say that I took it out of context. Actually, what Paul was saying is that we have a word to preach. We have a world to reach with the gospel. Don't allow our color, our culture, our customs, and our class to keep us from the call Christ has given us, that we are reconcilers. And reconcilers say they're willing to lay down their life for the cause. Revolutionary says, if you confront me, I will kill you because I have to do what I have to do. And a reconciler says, the world is in bad shape, need to be fixed, need to be changed, and I'm gonna work to change it. If you confront me, I'm willing to give my life as Christ gave his life. God bless you and God keep you.